This edition of Nation Talk is being brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.
Hello, listeners. This is Nick Ashwasega. You're tuned in to another interview by Nation Talk. Today, we have the pleasure of being joined by Jim Lutit, board member for the Toronto International Microfinance Summit, which is a great event actually coming up October 4th. But before we get into that, how are you doing today, Jim?
I am doing fine. Thank you, Nick.
Wonderful. So maybe to start, you can tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself and perhaps maybe more about your role with the Toronto International Microfinance Summit.
Certainly. Well, I currently reside in Toronto, where I've been since January 2007. And previous to that, I lived and worked in Peru and El Salvador for 7 years as part of my role with the Bank of Nova Scotia, where I spent 30-plus years. After leaving the banking industry in 2009, I started my own financial services consulting company specializing in assisting microfinance institutions. I am a member of Rotary, and as a Rotarian, I got involved in microfinance in 2009. And since then, have traveled to a number of countries to see firsthand how microfinance works, and more importantly, how the benefits it is providing to microfinance clients. I guess you can say I've developed a strong passion for microfinance and can see how clients can move themselves out of poverty and extreme poverty when they are provided with a chance. On the Rotary side, I am currently the chair of the advisory board of the Rotarian Action Group for Microfinance and Community Development. I know that's a long handle, so I'll just call RAGAM. And I just finished the term as chair and president of that action group, which enabled me to travel across various countries where I spoke about microfinance. RAGAM is a global group, and we have directors in over 10 countries around the world. On the Toronto International Microfinance Summit, or TIMS, which is easier to say, my role is vice president. I started working with the organizing committee of TIMS in mid-2009, and I've been part of them ever since. And this year is our sixth annual summit, and because of our success in putting together microfinance conferences here in Toronto, we incorporated in 2011.
Well, a man of many hats, so it's great to hear that you've been doing some incredible work, though, for the communities as well, Jim, which actually brings me to my next point. How important do you find a role that microfinance plays for communities and their people, specifically Aboriginal people?
Well, I believe microfinance is a great tool. And I'll say it's a tool. It's not a solution, it's a tool. It's the umbrella which can provide financial services to low-income consumers and the self-employed, people that traditionally lack access to banking and banking-related services. Microfinance institutions also provide training to their clients, which cover various financial tools, including money management, inventory control, and general business organizations to ensure success leading to sustainability. And I think that's key. It's leading to sustainability. We need something that's going to continue. And mentorship can also play a big role here. Clients that are usually women use the profits of their businesses to send their children to school, improve their family's living conditions and nutrition, and expand their businesses. And the fruits of their businesses not only make an impact on themselves and their families, but entire communities, especially as their businesses expand and employ people from the communities. And what I just said, it also relates, I believe, to Aboriginal people. There are several financial institutions that work in partnership with First Nations and Aboriginal entrepreneurs to support community development by providing access to financial services and financial literacy. To name a couple, one is Van City, which is based in British Columbia, and the other is the Wabatec Business Development Corporation that delivers business financing and economic development services in parts of Ontario. And as you probably know, earlier this month, a group of Canadians involving Aboriginal leaders launched Canadians for a New Partnership. And perhaps microfinance can be used to help bring clean water, food, housing, education, and health care to Aboriginal communities that require this assistance.
That sounds like it's an incredible endeavor that you guys have undertaken for several years. And also, it seems like microfinance can play an incredible role for Aboriginal people and just obviously communities as a whole. And I know you touched upon the Canadians for a New Partnership, and I know they've gotten quite the plethora of top-minded leaders, I know, from both sides of the buck, which I think is obviously going to be a great way of actually furthering Aboriginal initiatives with regards to the upcoming future. And, of course, the better partners you have, the better results you get. So one thing I actually would like to mention for our listeners, where should they go for more information, just not only on TIMS, but also, of course, on the Sixth Summit coming up October 4th?
Okay, your listeners can go to www.microfinanceconference.ca for more information on TIMS. And once you get to the website, if you have any questions, you can ask using info@microfinanceconference.ca, or as part of the executive of TIMS, you can write to me if you want. And my email address is jvlperu@gmail.com.
Well, there you go, listeners. For those who have the pleasure of catching this online, you'll find links below for the website and for the info at microfinanceconference.ca email as well. And for those listening through their radio, just to reiterate, again, for more information on both TIMS and their upcoming event, October 4th, you can go to www.microfinanceconference.ca. So a new point now here, Jim, I'd like to touch upon. I know, again, you mentioned you've done some work with them for a few years now. So what are some of the successes that you've seen yourself with microfinancing, both personally and with TIMS?
Well, as I mentioned before, I've traveled to a number of countries to see firsthand how microfinance works. And as an example, I've been in Bangladesh twice over the past 3 years, also India, the Philippines, Mexico, several countries in South America, and most of the Central America countries to look at microfinance projects. And I mentioned Bangladesh, and if you read about microfinance, that's where people think where microfinance kind of started, was in Bangladesh. But I've seen many successes with women starting their small businesses and using their profits to send their children to school, to improve their families' living conditions and nutrition, and expand their own businesses. And maybe just a quick story. The first time I went to Bangladesh, and this is something that keeps resonating on me, the first time I went to Bangladesh, I met a client who insisted I visit her home and listened while she told me her story. She said she used to be a beggar living on the streets, foraging for food to survive, but now she has a house, and I was in it, even though it was a small house with only two rooms. Plus, she had two dairy cows, that's so she can sell her milk on a daily basis. But I could see the pride in her face and her words when she said to me, "What I now have is because someone had a little faith in me." And when you hear things like that, I mean, how can you walk away from them? And then with TIMS, our mission is to educate people on the value of microfinance by providing a forum in the Greater Toronto Area where anyone interested in alleviating poverty through microfinance can connect with us, exchange ideas, share experiences and best practices. And of course, a big thing we've been trying to do here is raise the public profile of microfinance because it's not that well known in North America. And I think we've been pretty successful in doing that, especially now that we're into our sixth annual summit this year.
Yep. No, again, it sounds like you guys have really undertaken a pretty hard endeavor, and it seems like you've been able to come out with lots of success. So that's something I'm sure a lot of our listeners are going to want to hear, just because when you touch upon a little bit of faith, you know, and that's all it takes, a lot of Aboriginal community members and a lot of Aboriginal entrepreneurs are sitting there right now listening to that, and they're hoping and praying that that's exactly what they're going to get in the future, just a little bit of faith to let them succeed on their own. So, you know, that sounds like it's something you guys are really trying to ensure is prevalent and front and center as an opportunity for people. So that's great. And I'd like to just finish with a couple of things. I know, actually, we've touched upon it a little bit now, but social justice, I know, is a key point for this year's summit. Maybe you can elaborate a little bit more on this area and its importance to microfinancing.
Well, we picked the theme of social justice this year because we want to show how microfinance is breaking through financial and social barriers as a tool to achieve social justice for people living in poverty. And to me, social justice enables people to be contributors to their communities, whether it's through education or literacy, health care, and equal opportunities, to name a few. And at the summit, we will have speakers from global institutions such as BRAC, and that's B-R-A-C, who will show how this is done. As an example, BRAC is the largest development organization in the world. They are based in Bangladesh, and they provide the poor with a chance to seize control of their own lives. They use a holistic approach geared towards inclusion using tools like microfinance, education, healthcare, and community empowerment. And it's estimated, to date anyway, that they currently have touched the lives of over 135 million people. That's 135 million people bringing change. Plus, we have other speakers with their own perspectives on social justice and how the tool of microfinance helps people to achieve sustainability and grow in their communities.
Well, listeners, again, if you're going to have the opportunity to catch the Toronto International Microfinance Summit, TIMS, it's coming up October 4th. And again, you can find more information at www.microfinanceconference.ca. So before we let you go, Jim, maybe perhaps some words of wisdom for those listeners out there.
Okay. Well, I want to say, first of all, microfinance is not a handout. It is not charity. Rather, it is a hand up. People are not giving anything free. They are being provided with some tools to assist in moving out of poverty. So with a loan, as an example, they're expected to repay the principal and some interest. And during my visits to developing countries, I have seen and spoken with microfinance clients. I've heard their stories and witnessed their pride in what they've accomplished in moving out of poverty. So to your audience, if you want to experience the same and hear some similar stories, please check out our website. You've heard the address. And make your plans to attend the Toronto International Microfinance Summit on Saturday, October the 4th in Toronto. And I look forward to meeting you there.
There you go, listeners. Thank you so much again, Jim Ludit, for taking the time. And Chimi Gwich, everyone.
This edition of Nation Talk has been brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.